Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Leonard ties the ball game. Nice roll to the hoop. LeVert. Blocked by DeRozan. He sends it back. Leonard throws it down. The Spurs with back-to-back transition buckets.
DeRozan.
Back with another episode of the Wizards Tip-Off Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Hughes, in studio with Nick Ashew, a guest co-host today, as we react to the news that Kawhi Leonard is getting traded for DeMar DeRozan. Kawhi Leonard is going to the Toronto Raptors, so we're kind of doing, I don't know if you could call this an emergency podcast, but this is certainly an emergency in the NBA. It's massive news, so we definitely want to react to it. And I'm with Nick Ashew. You guys have heard him before on this show. He does a lot of great work for NBC Sports Washington, also 106.7 The Fan. And as I learned these past few days, he is not Nick Swisher. I was at the MLB All-Star game. I turned around during batting practice. I saw Nick Swisher, who used to play for the Yankees and the Athletics. And I was like, oh, that's Nick, but that's not Nick Ashew.
I can't tell you how many times I have heard that before. This is nothing new. Although I think he has a bigger head than me.
He does have a bigger head.
I can see the resemblance.
And honestly, the guy I think hit like 35 homers, right, so he's a little bit bigger than you too.
Yeah, he's a little bigger than me. That's a little fine. Bit bigger. I'm not going to sit there and try and pretend I'm the same size.
Yeah. So. But still, it's worse. There's worse comparisons than a guy who... You know, was the star of the Yankees for a while.
Yeah, so. I'll be all right.
All right, enough baseball. We talked a lot of baseball in the last episode. Let's jump right into this Kawhi Leonard trade. So, obviously, it was rumored for almost a year that Kawhi Leonard would get traded from the San Antonio Spurs. It ultimately happened. It's Kawhi Leonard and it's Danny Green going to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan. Jakob Poeltl, who was the 9th overall pick in 2016, just 2 years ago, and also a protected 2019 first-round pick. So, the Raptors are getting Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. That Danny Green's still a pretty good player. And the Spurs are getting a guy in DeRozan who is a second-team All-NBA player this past season. He's about to turn 29. He's under team control for the next 3 years, except that last year is a player option. And they're getting Poeltl, who is the 9th pick 2 years ago. So they have the ability to win now. Last year they won 47 games, basically without Kawhi Leonard. He only played 9 games. They could win now with DeMar DeRozan. And they have two assets in Poeltl and the protected first that will help them build for the future. So what's your instant reaction to this trade as you weigh it for both sides?
You probably, if you're San Antonio, get the best possible player in return. Like, people sleep on DeMar DeRozan, but he was a top five MVP candidate for a while last year for, by the way, a Toronto team that won 59 games. Like, I understand that they peed their pants in the playoffs, and they do that every single year. But first off, we know you're not cool unless you pee your pants.
Right.
Secondly, that's just the way that it went, and it may almost be better for DeMar DeRozan to be in an organization that has playoff experience. Now, you'll see a better DeMar DeRozan in San Antonio with Greg Popovich coaching him. From the Toronto side of things, look, Toronto definitely got better. Kawhi Leonard, when he's healthy, pre-injury Kawhi Leonard is better than DeMar DeRozan. And again, look, I spoke highly of DeMar DeRozan because he's good, but Kawhi Leonard is even better. This makes Toronto better. The problem for them, this is a one-year rental. Dude's not re-signing in Toronto. I understand we can use the Paul George comparison. It's not even close to an apples-to-apples comparison in terms of that trade and the fact that he ended up staying there. Kawhi Leonard has talked about wanting to go to L.A. Then, of course, there's the rumors that, oh, you know, he maybe doesn't want to go to L.A. because he doesn't really want to be in the same spotlight as LeBron James. But then
he's not going to be the star of the Lakers.
But by the way, the reports before that were that he was talking to LeBron James about going to L.A. and how excited he was he wanted to play with him. So, like, we're going to get, this is like draft time, Chase, where people are lying constantly and reports say one thing and then they say the other. It's like different studies out there for coffee. Coffee's going to kill you. No, coffee's going to make you live longer. No, alcohol kills you. Nope, makes you live longer. Like, we it's really hard to find what we really can believe in this. This makes Toronto better. This is the best return for San Antonio that they could have gotten in terms of a quality player that could help them still win now and compete in the West.
Yeah, I like this trade for both sides. I really like it for San Antonio. I know that, you know, there were some mock trade ideas that we all came up with the Sixers, where maybe they got Markelle Fultz and a number one pick and, you know, maybe Robert Covington and Dario Saric. There were some awesome possibilities out there, the Celtics as well, but they got a guy in DeMar DeRozan, like I said, who can help them now. He's in his prime. He's under team control, and they can look towards the future with the other assets. So I really like it for San Antonio. For Toronto, it's a massive risk, and I think we need to weigh this risk here because that's obviously a big part of this. But I like it. I respect Masai Ujiri for doing this because it is so hard to acquire a superstar, a guy that's in his prime. Kawhi Leonard is 26 years old. He's a top five player when healthy. Yes, the injury. Yes, the fact that he can opt out and test free agency next summer. But Paul George, it's not apples to apples because they don't have Russell Westbrook. They don't have Steven Adams. They don't have a situation where it's like, okay, are you really going to leave a top five player? You could run with Russell Westbrook. They don't have that. They don't have the culture to sell him. But they have a year to figure it out. They have a year to sell him on it. And I just like the idea that they're taking this risk because clearly they had hit a wall as a franchise. They won 59 games. They kept bowing out early in the playoffs, ironically, to LeBron James, and now LeBron's out of the conference. You could have justified waiting another year.
Maybe you just give this one more shot if you're Toronto.
Right, but they fire their head coach. They acquire a superstar. I respect the hustle. I respect the risk-taking because scared money don't make money.
Look at you,
Sam Presti said famously in ESPN's documentary about Paul George. So I respect the risk. They took a big risk. They took a big risk. And it may pay off. It may blow up in their faces. And because of that, because of the risk, because it might blow up in their faces, I think this is a good thing for the Wizards and the rest of the East and potentially a great thing. And Nick, I'll say this. I'll let you react. It's a good thing because he's not going to Philly or Boston. There's no dominant, unstoppable force in the conference still. And it could be great if he leaves Toronto because in Toronto's down the toilet.
Well, what this does is it makes Toronto a one-year threat and that's it. Because like I said, I don't think that there's any chance that he stays in Toronto. He's going to want to test the free agent market. And yeah, if you're the Wizards, you look at Philadelphia and you look at Boston. They're set up for long-term success. I mean, they've got a long stretch now moving forward where they've got young talent. They've got more assets still coming in to continue to replenish that young talent. Oh, and by the way, they're already really good and they're well-coached. So the Sixers and Celtics are pretty much there to stay. But if you essentially have this Toronto situation go 1 year, it blows the whole thing up because that's what Toronto is going to do. If Kawhi Leonard leaves in free agency, you're rebuilding. You have a new coach. You get a one-year rental. He leaves. You clear cap space between him, Danny Green. You've got Kyle Lowry's terrible contract, which maybe you can find a way to move it if you take attach a first-round pick to it if they're them and that's what they want to do. But yeah, this will then take Toronto out of the running in a year or so where the Sixers and the Celtics are the only teams then moving forward that the Wizards really have to compete with. Now, that's only because we see two teams that are set to win right now in the Sixers and Celtics. Let's also remember that the Knicks are looking to build for the future, and you may scoff at that right now, but they actually have capable people running their front office right now. You've also got
Kevin Knox looks good.
Kevin Knox looks really good. You've got a front office that is capable of building a team that can win now. They have a plan for the future as opposed to let's go out and get Steve Francis and put him with Stephon Marbury and think this is going to work and those nightmares that team had for 20 years. You've also got Milwaukee, which is a better team. I don't know what to think about Detroit right now because we'll see what Dwayne Casey does for them. He's obviously a good coach. He made Toronto a really good organization. There still are other teams that can continue to grow in the Eastern Conference, but the Wizards also improved really as much as they could this offseason too, so there's a lot of high hopes for them and certainly better than an eighth seed like we saw this past year, as long as they stay healthy, though.
Exactly. So I should say that we've got some fan questions later on in this episode that we're going to answer, including a few about Kevin Love. He seems to be the new apple of Wizards fans' eyes now that DeMarcus Cousins has moved on. I get more questions about Kevin Love than anybody. Of course, his dad played in Washington, so that would be cool. So we'll talk about Kevin Love a little bit later in this episode, but you mentioned Philly. Philly, this offseason, entered it, and I was under the impression that they were going to land a superstar. They got a kind of quasi-meeting with LeBron, even though LeBron wasn't there. They were one of the only teams that got to actually talk to his people. They were expected to maybe get Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, but instead, they, in this offseason, at least so far, have been Adam Dunn in a slump. They've struck out. They've been swinging out of their shoelaces. in this summer. And that's a good thing for the Wizards. Look at Philly, man. They're a big swing and miss so far.
They're a big swing and miss, Philly, but they're still a big swing and you know what? They're still really good. All right, so Philadelphia is... I understand that we can at least look at that and say that these other teams in the Eastern Conference decided to basically stand pat and say we're not going to gut our roster. It might have benefited the Wizards in some ways, though. Like, let's say the Sixers or the Celtics decided to go after Kawhi Leonard and get rid of some of that youth that they have on the team. And then he left them in a year for free agency and went out to LA anyway. Now we're talking a way that would really, really help the Wizards. But you are still eliminating Toronto, who is not as much of a threat, even though they had the best record in the Eastern Conference, as Boston and as Philadelphia. But sure, at least they didn't actually make themselves better than what they were last year. But I'd argue Boston's going to be better no matter what, because they're basically getting Gordon Hayward for the first time, because you wouldn't have had him before. You're going to have a better Jason Tatum. You also still will have a Sixers team, and we saw this with the Wizards earlier on with John Wall and Bradley Beal, where they're young and gaining that playoff experience. Philadelphia's cocky. Now, that can be bad, but it's also good because they've seen what they can do in the playoffs when they're young and stick together. That team now with Ben Simmons, who was a rookie last year and what that team did, he's now got more playoff experience. Joel Embiid, more playoff experience. I mean, who knows? Markelle Fultz may be a guy that actually can still play basketball. We'll see. But those two teams are still really good. It might have almost been better if Boston or Philadelphia just gutted their roster and then, oh, never mind, I'm leaving, see you later. And then we have to start over again. This didn't work.
Now, the best case scenario for the Wizards as it pertains to the Sixers, or the Sixers as it pertains to the Wizards, if they were one of those teams that went into the offseason with a bunch of cap room, swung and missed on the big free agents, and then it was just like, all right, well, let's just spend it on, who can we spend it on? Like, remember the Detroit Pistons with Ben Gordon and Charlie Villanueva? They just gave them like both max contracts. Bad.
But the funny thing is that Ben Gordon at least then was like the best sixth man in the NBA. Like, he was really good with the Bulls. People forget he averaged like 23 points a game one year off the bench for them.
Right.
But it very quickly backfired on them. And you see that happen a lot with teams.
Well, the Wizards, honestly, in 2016, the summer 2016, when they swung and missed on Kevin Durant, they ended up locking a bunch of guys up with money that they had to get rid of some of those contracts.
That's
the
true.
Blazers.
Yeah.
It's happened to a lot of teams, and that would be a great thing if it happened for the Sixers. But you know who I want to talk about next is the Lakers, because LeBron James went there.
Mm-hmm.
He went to L.A. They started signing all these knuckleheads, and you're like, well, they're going to get another star, right? Someone's going to join him in L.A. DeMarcus Cousins, apparently they weren't that interested. He went to the Golden State Warriors. Didn't get Paul George. Obviously, Paul George had already made his decision when LeBron made his decision. Didn't get Kawhi Leonard. Like, what's the plan there? Is LeBron James actually going to take a down year? Because right now it looks like he has really no chance of winning anything of substance with the way that roster is constituted.
So I wouldn't have blamed LeBron if he stayed one more year in Cleveland to give the Lakers an opportunity then in 2019 to make all these big moves at once. But what LeBron is saying by signing in L.A., and a four-year deal, there's no options or anything like that. It's not the 1+1 deal that he's been doing the last couple of years in Cleveland. He goes to the Lakers and says, look, we're not going to beat the Warriors this year no matter who we get. And that was before DeMarcus Cousins signed with the Warriors too. Whether or not he plays half the year or whatever it is, that's a whole other story. The Warriors are still better even without DeMarcus Cousins. So LeBron basically says, all right, I'm going to sign here because I want to play here anyway. This is the tail end of my career. I trust in you, Magic Johnson, to build a winner here. I know we're not going to beat the Warriors in year one. So let's focus on 2019. I'll come here, start. We have all of this young talent around me. I'll help groom them, make them better. This is going to be a year of coaching. LeBron's going to help this team grow. And then they sit back and wait, because now the Lakers are the biggest winner out of this whole Kawhi Leonard trade, because they didn't get rid of a single asset. Remember when the Knicks in 2010 traded away their entire young core so they could get Carmelo Anthony, when they could have still signed him outright in the offseason? But he basically put out a threat that said, I want to go to the Knicks or the Nets, because he wanted to then get an extension from one of those teams before the lockout. Everybody knew deals were going to get smaller and shorter when that lockout happened after Carmelo Anthony was traded. So he wanted the money. Knicks got gutted. It never helped them. The Lakers waited. The Lakers didn't give up any of that youth. They can still sign Kawhi Leonard next offseason in 2019 outright, and really would have room for even more players and more talent and all the young guys they have around them that are cheap. That's how you build a winner long term.
But LeBron James is 33 going on 34. Can he really afford, like, isn't that kind of naive to think that he could just like take a year off from competing for championships?
Well, he wasn't going to win in Cleveland. They
like, what
weren't
if this
beat
is the
Warriors.
Year that he starts dropping off?
It might be, but he's also superhuman, and I think there's a chance he plays for 40 years.
Yes.
Like, I mean, let's be honest here. Like, people aren't thinking about this enough. LeBron James, in his 15th year in the NBA, signed a four-year, $150 million contract and was considered the best player in free agency in his 15th year, when most players in their 15th year, they're signing that last deal and saying, eh, it's for a couple of years. You're going to ride the coattails of some other players and try to maybe get one more championship or at least some nice playoff runs. LeBron is still the best player in the NBA in that 15th year. Nobody else has been on that level, not even Jordan. Nobody has been on that level physically with what LeBron James has. So if LeBron plays three more years at the same level or even 90%, 85% of what it was this past season, Lakers are in just good shape. They're as good a shape as they could be.
I just don't get it. Like, LeBron could have, if he really wanted to go to LA after this, like, sign a one-year deal in Philly and compete for a title. Like, continue chasing rings.
But if you're the Sixers, do you want to do that? Like, why would you add LeBron to a young core and then say, well, he leaves in a year, and then...
Well, he's not going to tell you he's leaving in a year.
But you would assume, if he signs a one at one plus one...
You're just like, all right, well, that doesn't mean he's going to leave because he stayed in Cleveland for 4 or 5 years.
If I'm Philadelphia and I'm Boston, everybody that's coming there, I want long-term commitment from. I don't want this short-term.
It's LeBron, Nick.
I understand it's LeBron, but you realize that in a couple of years, Philadelphia may have the new it's blank. It's Joel Embiid. It's Ben Simmons. I think it's more likely Joel Embiid. But that team.
It's TJ McConnell.
It's damn straight it's TJ McConnell and Robert Covington. Although Covington's a great defender.
I really like Covington.
I like McConnell, too.
If only Chris was here, he loves calling TJ McConnell Jimmy Chitwood from Hoosiers.
That's a pretty good nickname.
Yeah, they love TJ McConnell up there. So we've joked about him a lot on this podcast. So I promised some fan questions, and including some Kevin Love and Wizards talk. So we'll get to those in a minute here. But first, we got to say that, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN just yesterday reported that the Wizards had talked to the Spurs about Kawhi Leonard. Now, obviously, they didn't end up pulling the trigger, but that was kind of interesting, right?
I like that they were at least testing the waters. It shows that Ernie Grunfeld is still looking at this roster saying we need to retool some other things or at least assess what we did. And it's good. Their feet were put to the fire this past season. Yeah. The expectations were certainly a lot higher than an eighth seed. There's no question. Nobody thought that team would be an eighth seed. Granted, there were injuries they had to deal with, especially with John Wall. But that being said, I mean, one of their issues was that they didn't have any depth. And he added depth this offseason and then said, well, on top of that, let's just see. Let's have a conversation. I think people don't realize how often teams will have discussions with other teams about players that you would think that were completely off limits. No player is truly off limits. If you're going to get enough of a haul back in return, teams are going to sit back and go, you know, I think maybe we could at least consider this a little bit. So I would think that they at least had a discussion and they probably heard back from San Antonio. It's Beal and Oubre and a first-round pick or two first-round picks or something along
Washington
those lines.
Washington Monument.
Washington Monument, the White House, and the National Mall on top of that. We want the rights to all of those things, too. Yeah. And then Ernie said, yeah, that's probably going to be a little bit too much.
I like the fact that the Wizards were they're trying to take some risks this offseason, you know, with Dwight Howard and then Kawhi Leonard. It's like Riverboat Ernie, man.
You've got to check out all of your options if you're the Wizards.
Scared money don't make money.
Damn straight. And I love when you say that. Right. You sound like a G.
All right. We'll get to some fan questions about Kawhi Leonard, the Wizards, and Kevin Love, like I said. But we'll do that right after a short break. And we're back on the Wizards Tip-Off Podcast. Chase Hughes and Nick Ashew in studio in Bethesda at our NBC Sports Washington office. And I've got some fan questions we can kind of fire through here. And some of them are very good. I think these are some of the best fan questions we've gotten for this podcast.
Oh, you're just sucking up.
I should say that every time.
You should say that every time.
I haven't, but
you're
I should.
You're like a comedian. You're the best audience I've ever had.
Yeah. Oh, what a great crowd.
What a great crowd.
Yeah. So at OB2Jive for you asks, are the Wizards going to have to make a move at some point this summer or pre-deadline if they look to seriously contend in the East? And I think that's an interesting question now that Kawhi Leonard has jumped to the Raptors. As constituted, can the Wizards seriously contend in the East, or is there another trade or move they have to make? What do you think, Nick?
I think they're better this year now on paper, and granted, that's on paper, so that's a scary thing to do. They're better this year on paper than they were last year. They've added a lot more depth. They've added some veteran presence, at least in Jeff Green. I'm certainly going to hold my tongue right now and wait on Dwight Howard and see if he actually wants to change and turn over a new leaf or not. But the Wizards were better than they actually were last year. And if they stay healthy, they can compete with Philadelphia. There's no question. They have more playoff experience. And you know, I talk about this all the time. I'm big on the playoff experience. I'm big on going through that grind and learning what it's like to lose and have that heartbreak first. Like, what young teams ever get to the NBA Finals or win a championship in the NBA? You've got to go through that losing first. You have to go through those years of growth. So the Wizards have already done that. So they're ahead of Philadelphia. You can't really say that about Boston.
I think they're ahead of Philadelphia, the Wizards?
I don't think they're ahead of Philadelphia when it comes to the playoff experience. Okay. Not when it comes to,
do you
like,
think they could beat them in a series?
I think they could beat them in a series, but it doesn't mean that they're the better team. Like Philadelphia, yes. Philadelphia right now has more talent on that team.
Because I put the Wizards behind the Celtics and the Sixers at this point.
Right. But what I'm saying is when you talk about when you look at it from a playoff experience alone, Philadelphia's got 1 year of that. The Wizards have more in terms of the core group that they have. I'm just saying that's one of the advantages that they have over Philadelphia. Boston, not necessarily. You have a lot of those players there, even though they didn't have half of them last year in the playoffs. They've
Brad
got a
Stevens
lot of
can
playoff
make
experience.
Young guys play like
and
that,
Brad Stevens, too. You know, Brad Stevens is my man crush because he's an amazing coach, and I think he could take any team in the NBA and win them a championship. It doesn't matter who they are. He's that great.
I think the Wizards right now are behind the Sixers and Celtics. If I had to guess, I'd say they're the fourth seed in the regular season. Because the Raptors won 59 games last year, and they're still going to be very good.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the Wizards may be better suited in the playoffs than Toronto still, even with Kawhi Leonard. We'll see. But I think as constituted, they can be serious contenders in the East, but certainly there's some risk there with Dwight Howard and Austin Rivers and all these egos that are going to be in the locker room and with the way things went last year. But John Wall missed 41 games. They still won 43, and the year before they were basically a 50-win team. So I think they could be a 50-51-win team this year and compete for the conference finals. Now, whether they can get out of the finals, to the finals, whether they can beat the Celtics are the one team I'm not sure they could beat in a playoff series right now. I just got to see how the team plays with Dwight Howard. I think the talent is there, but Boston has to be the favorite. You got to give them their due respect. They've been the second best team in the East for 2 years running, so you got to respect them there.
Boston, by the way, when you think, they are the ultimate combination of youth and experience on that team.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So what I will say is I think there is another move they have to make to become a finals team or be on the Celtics level, but I don't think it's a big move. I think it's, what would they need in that regard? Maybe...
I'd like more shooting.
A big man who could shoot, probably.
You can't.
Is what
you
I would
never
say.
Have enough shooting in the NBA
yeah.
now.
I think a big man who could shoot, and I've laid this out on the website and on the podcast. But they've got trade assets now, especially if you look towards the deadline. Because Obi Tujai for you said, pre-deadline, and you look at the deadline. By then, you know, maybe Troy Brown's shown some promise. Mm-hmm. Maybe Kelly Oubre at that point. You're like, well, this guy's expendable because we've got a lot of depth there. Maybe Thomas Adoransky is expendable because Austin Rivers has really taken to the both backup guard positions, and maybe Jody Meeks is having a decent season. So you've got some options to play with. You've got future first-round picks. So it'll be interesting to see once this team hits the floor what they could use, what are they missing, because as of now, I think they're definitely improved from last year. At RealDBT asks, how realistic is a move for Kevin Love? Do you think it's realistic?
No. Cleveland right now has said they want to keep him, and rightfully so, because they don't want to totally just rebuild this roster. They have so much money committed to so many players. They can still be maybe a 7th or 8th seed in the Eastern Conference with Kevin Love there. And look, maybe Kevin Love reverts back to Minnesota Kevin Love. Like, Kevin Love was one of the most underrated players in the NBA when he was in Minnesota. He was like a 26-13 guy shooting 42% from three. Like, he was a really, really good player in Minnesota, but the spotlight then got brighter when he's playing with LeBron. And he wasn't used to being in that type of role that he was in, and he wilted a lot like an old flower. So if I'm Cleveland, I'm not giving him up. If I'm the Wizards, what are you doing to even make that trade happen? I mean, is it Otto Porter in a first-round pick? That probably makes you better, but if you're Cleveland, would you take that?
That's the point to make. That's the point to make right there, because Cleveland probably has every reason to rebuild, and the Wizards can't offer high draft picks like some other teams could. If I'm Cleveland, I'm not going to trade Kevin Love for even a younger veteran under team control like Otto Porter. Otto Porter just helps me maintain mediocrity,
right,
which is probably where they're headed. If you're the Cavaliers, you're probably best. You have the right to tear it down and rebuild. You won a championship. You went to the finals 4 years in a row, right? You have every right to. This isn't, you know, the processing where you're going to tank and you know, I've got strong opinions on that.
I know you do.
This isn't you're not going to mock the rules of the league. You won a title. You have every reason to take a major step back and try to redo it over.
But also, if you're Cleveland, you might think about doing it by the deadline. You're certainly not going to do it this offseason. You already took a giant L already with LeBron leaving. So they don't want their fans to be more disenchanted and just say, well, we're also going to get rid of Kevin Love and make this team go back to what they were when LeBron left in 2010, where they had just a historically bad season.
All right, this is a similar question to the earlier one. Quickly, at Underdog Sports 6, very quick, where do you think the Raptors place in the East now after the trade? Oh, I thought it said the Wizards. So where do you think the Raptors place in the East after the trade?
I'd still put him behind Boston and Philadelphia because they'll be better, but Kawhi Leonard actually makes them a better team. But because Boston and because Philadelphia are just going to be better this year, especially Boston because they're bringing in Gordon Hayward essentially for the first time, I'd still put them at number three.
At Tez Anthony, do you think the Wizards have any plans to unload Jan Mahinmi or Otto Porter's contracts?
I'm sure they have plans, but who's going to be part of that plan?
I don't think...
At least Mahinmi. I don't know who wants to take his deal.
I know. I think it's a different case here. Otto Porter, they're not going to unload his contract. If you're trading him, you're going to get something back.
Right.
Jan Mahinmi, I know there's been talk about stretching his contract, but he's got like $32 million left. Are you really going to stretch that? Even if it's over 4 years, you're talking about $8 million on the salary cap. You can stretch him next year. Now, I don't think it makes
just
financial
try
sense.
Try to get something out of him. Hope that he can maybe be a guy that'll semi-protect the rim and give you a few quality spot minutes next year. But, I mean, they still need depth when it comes to his position anyway.
Yeah.
It's not going to help him by doing that. I get it. The contract was not good. We know that everybody got overpaid. I mean, Timofey Mozgov got paid the same amount of money, and he's garbage too. So it's not like they have somebody out there that's earning that money, but there were a lot of players that got overpaid that 2016 offseason. So at this point, if you're the Wizards, you say, let's see if we can get at least one more year out of you, and then we try and move on from there and figure out what our options are.
At BMore 48, if the Wizards have to make a risky move not involving Wall or Beal, what tradable players out there should we acquire that fit our team? If they really want to make a risk and swing big, then I think Kevin Love might be the guy.
Kevin
right?
Love would be the main guy because
what other stars are available? Because he's talking about a big
deal. Like you
deal.
Said, anybody's technically available, but like, what are the Wizards going to? The Wizards would have to give up
get
one
Anthony
of,
Davis,
right?
Right.
I guess if you offer John Wall and Bradley Beal, but how does that make the Wizards better? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everybody's available for the right price. The Wizards just don't. It wouldn't make any sense for the Wizards to offer anything close to a price that would do that. Yeah, there's not really a lot out there besides probably Kevin Love, but. As we've learned with the NBA and especially the offseason, something comes out of nowhere all the time.
Absolutely.
All the time.
And last year, Kyrie Irving, that came out of nowhere like around this time,
yep.
I think. And then he got traded in August.
There were those reports that they had talked to Phoenix about getting the fourth overall pick for Kyrie. And that was kind of a report that didn't get enough in terms of the legs and attention that it should have. And then all of a sudden it was like he found out about it and got angry. And that sort of helped lead him to saying, I want out. I don't want to be here anymore. And then it became the big story.
This is the last question at bomb 209-199-83. I don't know if that's
good
his phone
Lord.
Number.
Yeah. 1-9-8-3-7-5-4-2-8.
With a Twitter handle like that, surprisingly, he has an actual picture.
Yeah, is that a spam account?
No,
I thought Twitter got rid of most of those by now.
It's not a Russian bot. The question is, should the Wizards start pushing harder to trade for Kevin Love after the Kawhi trade? And he says, I think that Kelly Oubre, Thomas Satoransky, Jan Mahinmi, and a first rounder would do the trick. Would you make that trade? Kelly Oubre,
okay.
Satoransky,
okay.
Jan Mahinmi, mm-hmm. and a first rounder. So basically,
are there protections on the first rounder?
I would imagine.
All right.
Even if there
for
isn't.
For Kevin Love?
Yeah, so you're getting Kevin Love. You're losing Kelly Oubre, so you're down to two
but
small
you're
forwards.
But you might want to move him anyway, though, because yeah. you're not going to want to pay him in the offseason.
So the biggest asset you're giving up is Kelly Oubre. Sato's also on a one-year deal, mm-hmm. so you're getting something back for him when who knows whether they'll re-sign him. And you'd probably have to sign a point guard at that point.
Yeah.
You'd have some roster spots to fill. You'd get rid of Jan Mahinmi's deal. That'd be a plus,
yeah.
right? If you're talking about getting him for a big man, Kevin Love, you'll make that trade-off, of course. And the first rounder, you probably don't expect to convey into anything significant, and you just made a first-round pick with Troy Brown Jr. So if that was the trade, I don't know if the money matches. Maybe at bomb 209-199-83. Sounds like a computer.
It does. 219-845-3289-209-199-883.
Like
Sprint commercials with that stupid robot now that's constantly talking to you. That's what it reminds me of now.
Yeah. It sounds like the model for a Roomba.
Or a
vacuum or something.
Yeah. Hey, let's come up with more things that it reminds us of real quick.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
you think of anything else?
It's a great bit.
Okay.
So I think I would do that trade because Kelly Oubre, Sato, they're going to be off the books after a year. Jan Mahinmi, you get rid of that contract, you get some salary cap relief. And the first-round pick, I'm okay to part with at this point because you just drafted Troy Brown. I would do that deal.
You'd certainly get another talent in Kevin Love there. You would lose your depth, which is something that they struggled with before, but you can find other players to then fill that in. You still have Jeff Green at that point. Troy Brown's going to probably have to take on a little bit of a bigger role. I'd have to look at who else is still out there on the free agent market that might fit in that type of position that they have. But yeah, look, I mean, talent-wise, it definitely makes him better. That would definitely work, but you know, again, if you're Cleveland, that's what you always have to think of. It's great. Like, these trades are great when we're thinking of it being one-sided and benefiting our team and benefiting the Wizards. But if you're Cleveland, does that really make any sense for you at all?
Right. I will say, if they could make it work, if it were to happen, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Kevin Love, and Dwight Howard would be quite the foursome.
So Dwight Howard doesn't get enough
all-stars.
Touches.
That's three all-stars and Dwight Howard and the rebounders down low and the fact that Kevin Love can stretch the floor with Dwight Howard. It would
Dwight,
really work.
You're not getting any touches offensively. Hush, go off the screen and roll. That's it, all right? That's how this is working. That's what you establish right there.